Now, what we're going to look at today is, what does the Bible say about rewards? Rewards. Now, it's a subject that sometimes we don't really dive into too much because some people can take it and maybe run with it the wrong way and get into works righteousness, and that's not what we're looking at. But I do know that living, some say we're in a postmodern Christian culture or something, I don't know what it is, but basically some believe our country has turned its back on Jesus Christ. And it's probably true to some extent in certain areas. But a lot of people have lost their love, and hey, they've maybe pulled away from God in some ways. They maybe don't see the benefit, really, of being a Christian anymore. And there is some benefits. You know, to me, getting to go to heaven, not have to go to hell, ought to rank up there pretty high, but evidently it's not enough for some. So we're going to look at today the benefit of becoming a Christian. You know, some people try to roll the dice, and they wait until their thinking is they're going to wait until they get old, and they're going to surrender their life right before they die. Because if all there is to offer is heaven, and they really want to enjoy this world, so they're kind of playing that game a little bit. I don't know. That can be a little bit dangerous, I think, because you don't really know when you're going to die. It could happen at any time. I mean, you could have a heart attack, not trying to scare anybody, but, you know, you may not have time to make your peace with God. I mean, that's just the reality. And some don't get time at the end to do that. So, and that brings up a point about, what about somebody who lives like the devil their whole life, and then right before they die, they make their peace with God, and they ask Jesus Christ into their heart. Should they be allowed into heaven? I've seen some people say no, but God says yes. Amen. But I've also wondered, should their street be made of silver instead of gold? I don't know. I'm messing around. I think we all get the streets of gold. The scripture I want to launch off today is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so that to forget your work and the love you've shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together, that it's a joy to be able to worship in this house, Lord. And we want to just offer our praises up to you. And Lord, I thank you right now as we break bread or break your word, Lord, and be able to digest it into our hearts. Lord, I pray for revelation knowledge just to come forth. And I thank you. I bind the evil one from trying to steal the word out of our hearts. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, this concept about deathbed conversions and thing like this, it is something that bugs a lot of people. About 25 years ago, I remember a story, what happened to me. I was talking to somebody, and they came from an old-time holiness, maybe Pentecostal flavor, and they really struggled with somebody being able to accept Jesus Christ at the last few moments of their life, and they would get to go to heaven after this dear old saint, bless their heart, had to sacrifice so much, they thought, in serving God. Mainly, they just wanted to go out in the world and play and didn't feel comfortable enough to do it. That's what the deal was. And it really bugged them. I said, you're missing it. You're just missing everything about this. I say, it's not about what you're giving up, it's what you're getting into. You know, you get to have fellowship with God, you get to walk with God, you get to know God, all these things. And, you know, it never did totally register because to this day, this person is not faithful to the things of God. It's unfortunate. But they have a wrong way of looking at it. Now, we're going to look at our first point here, talking about God knows. And that's the reward for service. Now, this passage in Hebrews chapter 6, if you take time later to look up to the front of it, it's talking about people that are falling away from Christ. And due to persecution back at this time, many were turning their back on God because the persecution got very severe. And a lot of the Jews were going back into the temple, back into their religion, because their family had ostracized them and, you know, different things were going on. So some were pulling back. So the writer of Hebrews here was encouraging them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to hang in there. Be faithful to what God has called you to do, because God is watching and God knows and He's going to take care of you. And that's the same thinking that we need to have, because there is a reward for service. Whether a lot of people don't know it or not, God is keeping score. God is watching. He's paying attention to what you and I are doing down here. You know, sometimes we just think, we go off on that passage in Matthew where it talks about, you know, somebody going to work early and they're getting paid, let's say, $10. That's just the number I'm throwing in there. It's a denarii or something, which is a day's wages. And then somebody came a little long later and they got hired and they got the same pay. And then this went on through the day until at the end, somebody got hired right at the end of the day and worked about an hour and they got paid the same as the guy that worked all day. Well, that ain't fair. Who said life's fair? You know, it was the steward or the owner's job. If he wanted to give somebody a certain pay, that's his business, right? So we shouldn't care. If we decided to hire on for a certain price, it shouldn't bother us what other people make. And so some people read into that, you know, we're all going to get the same thing when we get to heaven, but that's not true. And I can prove it through Scripture today, that there is a benefit for you and I to be faithful servants of the Lord while we're walking here on this earth. Because what we do with what we have really matters. It matters to God and it matters to other people for the service that you and I do for them in ministering to them and able to bring them closer to the kingdom of God. Now, people that do accept Christ right at the end, like I said, will get to go to heaven. But they're going to miss out on a lot of different things that, you know, God has for them in their life and the things that He wants to do. Because, you know, the things that we missed out on, I don't know about you, but there's two lies I've always said is great. Being married's great. I ain't going to lie to you. I enjoy it. You know, God gave me a good wife. Or maybe I went out and fetched her. I don't know how it worked out. Anyway, we're together now. And I know some people that didn't pick as lucky as I did, and they're paying the price right now. But the second life, which is even more important than my marriage, because this life is eternal, and that's the life with Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is the best life there is, bar none. And I went out and tried a lot of stuff back before I gave my life to Christ. And I can say this, and I can look anybody in the eye and tell them with full honesty that being a Christian is the best life. Serving Jesus Christ, because the blessings that you receive, I have no problem being faithful to God because I love Him. You know, just like with my wife, and we've talked about this in the freedom class a little bit, you know, that, you know, the reason I'm faithful to my wife is not because I'm scared of God, what God will do with me if I'm unfaithful. I'm faithful to my wife because I love her. Why would I want anything else? And it's the same with my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, why, if I love Jesus, why would I go off and chase after other things in this world that never brought me happiness in the begin with? That's what drove me to Christ. It's because everything in the world couldn't satisfy. Oh, it would bring pleasure, but it never satisfied me. But when I come into relationship with Jesus Christ, satisfaction started to manifest in my life, and I'll never go look anywhere else. So it's no problem, you know, serving God and being on that way. Now, the thief on the cross, now, he led a terrible life, but yet he got to go to, because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, because he humbled himself right at the last minute. But like I mentioned, not everybody will get that opportunity. Some may die quickly and not have a time to repent of their sins, and that's going to be an unfortunate situation. Now, here's how we look at it sometimes. You got the get-tos versus the got-tos, is what I call it. You know, I look at it, you get to serve God, and some people look at it, you got to serve God. And the difference between the two is that loving relationship with Jesus Christ, being born again. If you're really born again, I believe in our heart, we desire fellowship with God. And then you got the got to's, and that, I believe, is a dose of religion. They get a little touch of information, but they don't have the revelation where they have the relationship with God. And that's why Christianity to them is a bummer. Christianity has never been a bummer to me. Because to me, it's about a relationship. I've never felt like I had to do anything. Now, maybe when I was a kid, or when I was younger, when I thought I had to do certain things. But what I feel is that perspective is everything. And that's how you look at it. You know, we need to look at it from different vantage points. And I believe the best vantage point to look at Christianity and God is on this side of Calvary. Because pre-Calvary, before we actually surrender our life to Christ, yes, religion is a bummer, in my opinion. Because it's a list of rules, it's a list of things that we think we have to give up and that we have to do. Now, before I got saved, I dated a little bit. I had different girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? But when I met my wife, it was no problem letting go of all those others. Because this is the one that I wanted. And it's like that with Jesus Christ. Without getting too graphic, the Bible has plenty of places, and I'm chasing a few rabbits right now. I'm trying to get back to where I want to be, but God has me going off here on a couple things for somebody. But, you know, if we chase after other things, the Bible calls us a harlot or a whore. Amen. Because we're only to have one lover, and that's Jesus Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And when we chase after all these other things we think is going to make us happy, it doesn't work that way. You'll never be happy until you totally surrender and give your life to Christ. And when you do, some exciting things are going to happen, and we're going to look at some of those today. Now, I do know that religion's wrecked it for some. Growing up, I had it explained to me that God's got a stick, he's going to beat you back, and you know, if you do something wrong, you're going to get in all kinds of trouble. You know, kind of made it so I didn't want to join that church. You know what I'm saying? Why do I want to do that? But then when finally I found the truth, it was different, because when I start to see that self-image, my image in Christ changed, that I'm a new creature, and that I could let go of all that old stuff, it totally changed how I look at things. And I believe that revelation and that experience is necessary for each and every believer to really tap into. We don't want to just follow rules. We want to follow the relationship. Because I believe if we have the relationship, then the rewards are coming. Now, I'm going to do this several times as a disclaimer. You and I don't chase rewards. If we get into chasing rewards, it changes our perspective. It changes our motive for why we do things. If you're only doing things to get something from God, then that's the wrong attitude. We have to do it with the right attitude. We're going to look at that right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. It says, "Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he shall receive reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire." Now, we've looked at the scripture, I think, last year a little bit, but I want to look at it again. And its idea to me is that quality is important. Now, this is talking about the Bema Seat, and a little bit of explanation about that. Is there's two primarily judgment seats listed in Scripture. Number one is the Bema Seat, and number two is the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, the Great White Throne Judgment is a time when Jesus is going to judge people and send them to hell. At that point there is no heaven for them. So they've already been judged because they've rejected Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is Jesus Christ stood before that judgment seat and took our place for us, shall we say. And since he was perfect and his blood was shed, he took judgment for you and I. Only if we've accepted it. Only if we've received him into our life. We've repented of our sins and surrendered our life and given our life to Christ. Yes, there's always a catch to everything, isn't there? Heaven is not automatic. A lot of people think it might be. But it's not. It's only for those who have repented and given their lives to Christ. Now, this seat here, the Bema seat, is a seat that all the Christians are going to stand in front of. The sinners won't get to go to this one. But this is a seat where we're going to be judged for the quality of what we did, which comes back to me about the motive for why we did it. So, all us Christians are going to stand before this Bema seat, and then God is going to judge the quality of our work with fire. Whatever was not of good quality is going to be burned away. You're going to have nothing to show for your life, but you get to go to heaven. So that's the good part. So, but if you had done things for the glory of Jesus Christ and with the right motive, then what you've done will stand the test of fire, and it's going to carry you into heaven, and you're going to have some rewards. Like I say, we don't chase rewards, but it is a benefit. Amen? They are there. So we don't want to get off track and chase after everything. But to me, the greatest frustration I would have is if I lived a wasted life. To me, it's kind of like taking the wrong turn. I did this several years ago. I've taken a few wrong turns in life. But we were coming back from Wisconsin. It was late, and we'd never went that way totally before. It was a shortcut. And it wasn't a shortcut, but anyway. I have a big problem with Illinois charging tolls all the time, so we took a different route. Amen? I figure that stupid road I'd put all this money into should be paid for by now, but it's not. So anyway, I took a different angle. Anyway, coming back at night, it's hard to see this one turn. I missed it. I'm heading to Davenport instead of down toward Cedar Rapids. Well, I never caught it for a while. But I was frustrated when I caught it. Because to be honest, it probably took me an hour, hour and a half to 2 hours to get back to where I was supposed to be. Because instead of going at an angle, I went this way, and then I had to go back that way. That was wasted time. Now, even more than that, by far, would be to have a wasted life. Where you maybe felt you gave up a lot of stuff for God, but yet your motive was wrong. I'll be honest, you could be a janitor in God's kingdom and have more rewards than a lot of preachers. I'm just saying. Some of you looked up and say, what? Because your motive. It's the attitude by which you serve. There's a lot of preachers, they get their glory down here on earth because they like it that people look at them and listen to them. They're doing it with the wrong motive. So whatever we do with the right motive is going to be rewarded, because I believe that life is a precious gift from God. God has given us each a life. And it's what we do with it is important. You know, you have choices to make. Now some people think, well, you know, my goal in life, I just want to be a good parent and support my family. Dude, everybody should do that. That's nothing special. You know what I mean? In my opinion, that's not even negotiation. You should be a good parent. You should go out and take care of your family. But what are you doing for the kingdom? That's what God wants to know. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What difference are you going to make with your time here on this planet? Because we're here for a short time. When you're a kid, it seems like you have a lot of time left. But as you get older, you see the time closing in. You start to manage your time maybe a little more wisely, because your time is running short. So what are we going to do with what we have? Now, I want to look now at five crowns in the New Testament. And this is the rewards that I was alluding to a minute ago. And there's five crowns talked about. Now, we're a royal priesthood. You know, the Bible says that about us. So there's some things that when you become a Christian, when you're called out of something, you're called into something. Now, to me, the crowns, we receive them, they're a byproduct of being able to do things the right way. See, when you stand before that Bema seat and everything you've done is judged, and whatever there stands, it's going to be precious because it was able to withstand the judgment fire. then we're going to start to receive some things. Now, like I said, we don't chase crowns, but crowns is going to chase you down at this time in your life. They're just going to be given to you. And God's going to do it because God loves us. Now, why we do it, like I mentioned, is more important than sometimes what we do. So like I mentioned, you could be a janitor, or you can be a Sunday school teacher. You can just be anything you do for the kingdom of God, giving somebody a ride to church and doing it faithfully. You know, taking that blessing, the van we just received, and going out and picking kids up in it and dragging them giving them a ride to church on Sunday morning, praise God. You know, there's rewards for somebody that does that. You know what I'm saying? So what we do for the kingdom of God is important. Now, I want to look at a couple things because God looks at the heart instead of just the action. You and I see the actions, but God sees the heart. Okay, we're going to look at five different crowns now. Full disclaimer, not everybody may receive a crown. That's not fair. Hey, you can do something about it because I'm going to give you the information you need to receive extra crowns. If you want. The first one, imperishable crown. That's found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Now, I didn't list the scriptures up here. These are something you can jot down and you can read them at your own. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. And they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Okay, so what this is talking about here is receiving an imperishable crown. Now, this crown is reserved for Christians who walk in self-control. What that means is that they've kept their eyes on the reward in heaven and not here on earth. See, there's a lot of people that are trying to build up their kingdom. You know what I'm saying? They want to make sure their pile is bigger than anybody else's pile. And that's important to them. There's nothing wrong with having a big pile of stuff as long as that big pile of stuff don't own you. Amen? So I don't believe in poverty. I mean, that's of the devil. Lack is of the devil. But I'm saying that what's a problem is that when we let our pile control our life. And the person that receives this crown is somebody that has understood the concept because they started to live the life of an Olympian. Now, Olympians are people that I really admire because of their self-discipline and what they're willing, the price, I guess, they're willing to pay in order to be able to receive hope of something that they might be able to get. But it's not for sure they're going to get that prize. Not everybody stands. You know, only three of them in the Olympics get a prize for each deal. You got your gold, your silver, and your bronze. So they do all this work and sacrifice, get up early in the morning, may train for 5 or 6 hours a day, and they may not get anything in this world. But see, in God's kingdom, God looks and he notices our disciplined life. Because when it's talking about imperishable, see, when we're focused on the heavenly storehouse rather than earthly treasure. So we need to be able to see what is it that we want to send on ahead and not keep it down here where moth and rust will destroy it. So it's a different concept of how we live our life and what's important to us. Is the things in this world more important than the things in the next life? Think about how long you're going to live at each one. Amen? You know, I try to get this through to kids in high school. When they're in high school, man, high school's all it is, you know. That's all they know. They invest all their life into this high school thing. Because this is so important, because that's all they know. You know, and then when they graduate high school, what's the last thing they want to do? They don't want to associate with that high school no more. Why? They moved on to college or they moved on to their career. That thing they thought was the only thing in this world now isn't important anymore. They found out something else. They've went to the next stage of their life. Well, I'm trying to get us to jump ahead all the way to the end, man. Why wait until you're old to figure this out? I'm telling you, it's the things in the kingdom of God are more important than the things in this world. Yes, we need things in this world, but they're not as important as the eternal things. The things that we're going to have forever, for eternity. Eternity is a long time. So I want to make sure we get that. And I want to make sure you guys get it all, man. I want, when I get to heaven, everybody's associated with this church, man, I want to see them just wearing all kinds of crowns. You know what I'm saying? They're just up there just sporting it, you know? They're just, hey, I was River Life. We're going to have t-shirts up there. No, I'm kidding. We're not. I'm messing around. All right. The next one is the crown of rejoicing, or the crown, I call it the crown of exaltation in New American Standard, but it's really called the crown of rejoicing. Now, each of us can have this one too. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord at His coming?" Now, this is about boasting in the people that you've brought into the kingdom of God. This crown here is for soul winners, or spirit winners, depends how you really want to get technical about it. So if you're out leading people to Christ and bringing them into the kingdom of God, then you will receive the crown of rejoicing. And you're going to be able to have that crown because you've invested. It's kind of like a proud papa. Have you ever ran into somebody who just likes bragging on their kids? You know what I mean? And I'll be honest, I brag on you guys sometimes because I'm your proud papa for some of you. I've had a job or I've had some influence in your life in being able to see you come into the kingdom of God. And I'm proud of you for what you do and what you've done for God's kingdom. I'm proud watching you step up and being able to do things and walk away from some things you could have had and going after the things you know that God wants you to have. And that's an awesome thing for a father, to be able to see their natural children walking in, and also for me as a pastor, to see my spiritual children walking in. And see, all you have to do is go out and to be able to win people to Christ, to bring them in, and to have make a difference. And that would be back at driving that van maybe on Sunday mornings. I'm advertising right now, ain't I? You know, going out there and getting some of them kids and, you know, dragging them out of bed and getting them to church. You know, we have a lot of kids that come on Wednesday, won't wake up on Sundays. You know, I'll be honest, me and my wife can't go fetch them all, you know, with what we have going on here at the church. So, you know, it'd be great if we get somebody to go out there and grab them for us. Amen. All right, the next crown is the crown of glory. Now this is found. Now this won't be for everybody. You're gonna have to maybe step out from the crowd a little bit to get this one. It's called the crown of glory, and it's in 1 Peter 5:4, and it says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Now, this crown here is reserved for those who are waiting for His appearing, who are eagerly waiting for the return of the Lord. But primarily, this is called the shepherd's crown. So to get this crown, you're going to have to, you know, be a pastor. No, just kidding. It is a shepherd's crown, but I believe you can get it by being a Sunday school teacher or teaching kids. Any person or any adult, if you're a small group leader, taught any class on Christian education, I believe it includes all ministers. And I believe if you're the type of person that's wanting to yield to the gifts that God's put inside of you and to be able to share those gifts with other people in trying to disciple them and bring them to maturity, I believe this crown is laid up for you. You know, and I believe you can receive that crown. And so, but this is going to take somebody that's probably going to want to study a little bit and to be able not to be timid in being able to share their faith and to be able to see some growth in their life. So that's important. Okay, the next crown is the crown of righteousness. So there's five crowns. We're on number four. So 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved His appearing." So here, if you notice, a lot of these tie in with people who are excited about the appearing of the Lord. It's kind of like the 10 virgins. You know how five of them were prudent and were ready and the other five weren't. So this is talking about the five who were ready, who are excited, looking about, you know, I'll be honest, from what I read, heaven's a whole lot better than down here. You know, I'll be honest, I look forward to heaven. And, you know, I'm not going out running in front of a truck or something to try to get there quicker. You know what I mean? But, you know, I do know that when it's time, it's going to be better for me. And I long for His appearing. Some days I long harder than others. Amen. How many's been through those days? Lord, why don't you just come today? You know, don't come at the end of the day. Come at the start of the day so I don't have to go through today. You know, so, you know, sometimes we want that. Now, this here's talking about righteousness. Now, I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's something that is really important. It says, you know, to me, it's given to those who depend on Jesus for their righteousness and not themselves. Now, that should be everybody. Now, how it works is that you and I are failures. I hate to break that to you. You're a failure without Jesus Christ. I mean, you're terrible. So am I. We're imperfect. Our righteousness is filthy rags. You know, we got some Girl Scouts in here today. Their righteousness is filthy rags without Jesus Christ. No matter how sweet they are, no matter how much you like them cookies, man, them cookies ain't getting them into heaven. I guarantee it. But what gets you into heaven is when you receive what Christ has done for us. That's when righteousness is imputed to our account. Meaning, I used to, back before business cards were really available, we used to, when I traveled as an evangelist and you wanted to give your name out to somebody, you might rip out your deposit slip out of your checking, you know, those things in the back. You know, you would give those and, hey, if you feel led, you know, hey, make a deposit for me. But it had your name and information on there. And see, if somebody, if I gave, now we're not going to try this, but if I gave you, or you gave me your checking deposit, and I took it, and I went in and I placed $1,000 into your account, did you earn that? No. I just chose to impute it to your account. It was a free gift. And see, that's what righteousness is for you and I with Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, He gives us righteousness to our account. Now, it's what we do with that righteousness. You know, righteousness there is a revelation. Now, I believe if you get that revelation and then there's imparted righteousness, that means when you and I choose to tap into that righteousness and then we start to live a sanctified life and we start to live a life that walks in a little bit more holiness in a sense, where we're glorifying Jesus Christ with our lifestyle. Well, that's what this crown's talking about, the crown of righteousness. And it's important that we want to walk in some sort of level of maturity. Now, the last crown we're going to look at is the crown of life. It's found a couple places in Scripture, but I chose to share with you Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, do not fear what you're about... Oh, this one's going to be hard to handle. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is out to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is a hard crown to earn. And that's the martyr's crown. It's the crown when you have been faithful to Jesus Christ, even to the point where they put you to death for your faith. And it's a crown that you will receive, and this kind of person is probably going to have to endure much suffering. It takes a little more than people at work being mean to you. You know what I'm saying? You don't get it for that. Or whatever the case may be, or that you got people on Facebook persecuting you because you post your religious sayings. No, it's a little more than that. You know, so those are five crowns, because I want us to see that there is a benefit for you and I to be a Christian. And it's something that not every Christian is going to get the same thing. You know, so we can just dismiss that out of our mind. There's enough scriptural backing to prove that not everybody's going to receive the same thing. Now, how much is it going to bug you in heaven? I don't know. I've never been there yet. But, you know, I would say that the most important thing is to get in the door, amen, to make it to heaven, and that's good. You don't have to go to hell, and that ought to be an awesome thing. But, you know, to me, I don't want to live a wasted life. Why would I go through some of the processes and the things that I've done, and then when I get there, there's nothing to show for it, you know? So I think if we choose to look at the Word and, you know, just pay attention a little bit, amen? You know, just pay attention a little bit and be willing to, you know, do it God's way. You know, just throw out what you maybe have thought of yourself. I mean, I had to reprogram my mind a little bit when I got saved because I had some wrong thinking. You know, and then when I read the Bible, it kind of fixed me. Well, it did fix me. So in saying that, I want you to always remember, don't think about the things that you've walked away from in your life that you feel that was hard to give up to be a follower of Christ. It's worth it. It's worth it to come out of the world and then not to let worldly things influence your life. All you have to do is love Jesus. Once you love Jesus and say, Jesus, just help me. I want to grow. And you do that, you're going to grow exponentially in your life. And to be honest, I don't miss a thing that I feel that maybe some might say I walked away from. None of that stuff is important. If it was, I would never have looked for Christ. Because I did everything that the world had to offer. I tried all that stuff. Some of the stuff I did several times, but it could never fulfill me. But once I met Jesus, my life was changed. I never want to go back to that. So yes, there is a benefit, and the reality is we don't want to live that wasted life because, you know, fruit is important. Now, God is the judge. We're not judging. I hope you didn't feel I was judging you. By sharing some of this stuff, I try not to make it too personal, but personal enough that you'd receive it. Amen? God is our judge. He's the one that we are going to have to answer to. And I encourage you to really go for it with all your heart. Let's pray.